Father, thank you, Lord, for another day in the presence of the Lord. A day in your courts, better than a thousand elsewhere. Thank you, Jesus. Today, Lord, we come. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto you. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us. Cause us, Lord, to approach with an open heart and receive the word of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. Blessed be the name of the Lord today. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brethren, word of the Lord for today. I want to continue the lesson we started yesterday on great and precious promises for your children through the pipeline. And the lesson title is not long enough, but the pipeline is important. And I will tell you about that pipeline. If those of you were here yesterday, you heard it. If you didn't, weren't here, well, that pipeline is from God to you and to your children. That's how it works. The children are not in isolation. Children did not just get to this world by themselves. It came through the parents. And for the godly parents, you know, there is a pipeline from the father to you and then to your children. And this concept is presented throughout the scriptures. We see God dealing with Abraham. He called him and transferred the same promises to Isaac, transferred the same promises to Jacob, on and on and on. Even in the recently concluded series, we saw how God chose David, and blessings also transferred to Solomon because of David. In fact, the Lord said, for David's sake, you know, I will retain the throne. Even though Solomon at times really went astray, but the Lord kept the promises that he made to David, particularly the one of establishing David's throne. He said the same thing to Solomon. Establish his throne, you know, forever and so on. And so on and on and on. We see ourselves also in the spiritual lineage of Christ, as God said, that in thy seed all nations be blessed. And Paul describes to us by the Spirit that that seed is really Christ, not just Isaac. And so in Christ, all of us who are in him, we receive the blessing, as it is written in the book of Romans. You know, if we are children, we are joint heirs with him. You know, what he has, we have. What comes to us, you know, what comes to us from God, our children also have. You know, that's the pipeline. And so you may call it generational blessings coming from the Lord to you and your children. And many scriptures bear this out. Jesus himself, prophetically, Isaiah pointed it out. And this was concerning Jesus. Isaiah 8 and 18. I and the children that the Lord had given me are for signs and wonders. And we see that first it is I, and then the children after me, and so on. And many promises that we looked at yesterday, you know, talks about either the seed of the righteous or, you know, your children or this and that, you know, always a reference. And anytime we reference children, well, we know that there are also parents in the mix. So, I gave several promises yesterday. Just read through some of them without going into details. The details are already in yesterday's lesson. Number one, your children shall never be desolate or beg bread. Number two, God's righteousness shall be to your children and grandchildren. Number three, because you fear the Lord and his, do his commandments, your children shall be mighty upon the earth. Number four, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Number five, your children are the heritage of the Lord and they will grow up to be mighty prayer warriors. That is, speak with the enemies in the gate. Number six, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. And number seven, all of God's children, including your children, shall always have a place of refuge in the Lord. Number eight, the children of the righteous shall be blessed after him. Number nine, you train up your children or your child in the way that they will go, or he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And if he departs, the Lord will bring him back. Number 10, I and the children God has given me are for signs and wonders. Number 11, I will pour my spirit upon thy seed. Number 12, I will contend with those that contend with thee, and I will save thy children. And number 13, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. So that's where I ended yesterday, and in no particular order, but just after collating the scriptures, try to go through them lexically or chronologically as they appear in the scriptures. So today I want to continue. I was in the book of, first I started with the book of Psalms, then I went to the book of Proverbs, now I'm in the book of Isaiah, then I'll go to the book of Jeremiah, then I'll come to the New Testament, the book of Matthew, Luke, and Acts, and John, you know, the epistles of John, and so on. Just making it through, down through the scriptures like that. So, I'm going to pick it up here. This, you know, will be number 14, because I went through 13 of those yesterday. And we've got the replays for you to check it out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 9. Now I'm going to be reading the scriptures that give us these promises. As we go through them, I'm going to read them out one by one and see what the Lord is saying. And I want you to reflect, meditate on this, and if you if these scriptures resonate with your spirit, well, you can react with amen in the chat room as we go through. Now, these promises are unto you and to your children. Praise the Lord. So, your children, because you are the blessed of the Lord, your children after you are also blessed. And here's what it says, Isaiah 61 verse 9, but let me read it from verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their walk in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed, hallelujah, shall be known among the Gentiles. And their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Glory to God. This alone, one scripture right here is so powerful. Your children shall be known among the people. Your offsprings, you know, like that, they will be known. People will see them and acknowledge that these are the blessed of the Lord. Why? Well, because the Lord said so. And secondly, because they are your children. I mean, you are blessed, therefore your children are blessed. Yeah, scripture says, you know, and the parents are holy, therefore the children are holy. And as I explained yesterday, it doesn't mean that they have automatic salvation because they are your children, but these blessings come upon them automatically. You know, now, as far as, you know, their understanding, I mean, for them to get understanding of salvation and the truth of the word of God and commit their own lives unto the Lord, they have a responsibility for that. We have a responsibility to teach them. But they are automatically the blessed of the Lord because of you. Because you are blessed, you know. It's one household thou will be saved and thy house, a lamp for an house, thy entire household covered like that. And if you believe it, well, you bring on your children in, under the covering. Praise the Lord. And I said yesterday that even the Lord was showing us how he would deal with a house, a household in Egypt, when he told them to put the blood on the doorposts. And everyone and everything that was inside that house would have been safe. You know, when the angel of destruction was passing over, if the blood was on that house, you know, everything inside that house, that's it. You know, even any of the Egyptian firstborn came into that house and was behind the door that had the blood on it, they would have been safe. You know, angel would not have, you know, gone behind the door. Say, well, when I see the blood, I will pass over. That's it. So, you know, anyone that's in the household like that, you know, bring them on the blessing of the Lord. They are blessed. Now, they must follow on to know the Lord in order for them to retain that blessing and create a relationship for themselves, you know. But they automatically receive it. They must, you know, follow the Lord and, you know, obtain a direct relationship with him in order to retain those blessings. But they got it automatically anyway because of you. Praise the Lord. These are foundational teachings in the Word of God. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Praise God. Now, let me go on to the book of Jeremiah. And I refer to this lesson, I mean, this one also yesterday. Powerful scripture. Jeremiah 31, 16 and 17. You know, the Lord talks about, you know, your reward over your children, that they are assured. The Lord will reward all your labor of love, you know, which Proverbs 22 and 6 commands us to train that child and all your children in the way of the Lord. And the Lord said they will not depart. Well, Jeremiah says, even if they do depart, they will come back. Praise the Lord. So, and that's a powerful promise, you know, that you can use to comfort your heart and assure yourself as you continue to pray for them, even if they've wandered away. Our prayer is that they don't wander at all. They stay with the, you know, stay in the pack and stay in the flock, stay in the fold. But one way or another, whether they wander or not, because they are your children, they are coming back. Because the Lord said so. They will not depart. And if they do depart, they must come back. Praise the Lord. So Jeremiah chapter 31, a powerful, powerful promise here for us concerning your children. If you have any unsaved children, or any children that, you know, that just becomes, I mean, stubborn and just, you know, listen and do their own way and things, and that way does not align with the things of God. Well, that's a powerful promise for you. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. And I say thy work over these children, according to Proverbs 22 and 6, shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again. That's right. From the land of the enemy. Powerful stuff. And there is hope in thine end. Before it's all over, saith the Lord, that thy children, so we know he's talking about your children, thy children shall come again to their own border. You know, when they are young, we set up guardrails for them. We teach them, look, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, this is what the Lord loves, and this is what the Lord doesn't love. Well, if they go out of that border, one way or another, your prayers will get them back. Glory to God. That's a powerful promise. They're coming in. Every one of your children, and their children after them, they're coming in. Praise the Lord. That's the way that the Lord wants it. That's the way the Lord promised it. And we must believe that. Praise God. Number 16, Holy Spirit outpouring promised upon the youth, even in the last days. Praise God. If you have any youth, Joel 2:28-29 talks about it. And, you know, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he would quote this same thing. But let's read it first out of the book of Joel. Joel's prophecies were very pointed and powerful for the, you know, for the end times. And he said this shall come to pass afterward. When you say afterwards, meaning later years, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And listen to this. He point blank calls out your children. Say, and your sons and your daughters. That's it. You know, so this promise is for your sons and it's for your daughters shall prophesy. That's right. That's powerful stuff. And your old men dream dreams, young men see visions, also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit. Well, pay attention to the reference to your sons and your daughters. And we can stand in this promise in the office of the priest. That's right. Over your household, over the family altar, you declare these things over your children. If you are the man of the house, we talked about that yesterday. The good man of the house will watch and not allow his house to be broken up in this, you know, Jesus said. And same thing for the woman. The wise woman will build up her house. Now, those people who are heads of families like that, you stand in the gap for your children. You release this word over them. Spirit of God come upon you. Yesterday we read in Isaiah 44 that says, I will pour out my spirit, you know, upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. You know, you claim these things for them and release it over them. I say, well, Lord said you will receive the spirit of God. You will prophesy. Glory to God. And these are powerful, powerful, promises that we must, you know, release over our children. Peter on the day of Pentecost. And the people were all gathered around wondering, why are these people, you know, speaking like this? Are they drunken? And Peter said, of course not. It's too early in the day for that. But this is that which was promised and spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. And the fulfillment of it began to come. And the people then later said, well, men and brethren, well, what shall we do? You know, and Peter said, well, you know, you got to repent and be converted and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, first you. Then he turns around, that's Acts 2:38-39. Then he turns around and says, for this promise is unto you and your children. So it always starts with you. Praise the Lord. So every one of you that's in here, if you are not a parent yet, well, you know, you can be the beginning of the pipeline from the Lord. Well, if you had godly parents before you, they were the beginning of that pipeline as far as you were concerned. And they themselves, you know, if they had godly parents, well, they, those ones preceded them, pipeline. God pours that blessing upon you and you are a conduit, glory to God, to your children. Praise God. Well, I thank God in my life, you know, I'm a conduit to my children. I've been prophesying over them since they were young, even since they were in the womb. And by the grace of God, didn't matter what, where they went, one way or another, every single last one of them, glory to God, coming in. And some of them are already powerful prayer warriors, ministers, even a pastor and this and that. But it all started by believing God. you know, living the promises of God, receiving them, and making sure they flow on through to our children. And these promises are always given in context. Every time it talks about your children, it refers to you as well. Like I said, those children are not there by isolation or in isolation. Praise the Lord. So, Holy Spirit pouring out His blessings upon the children. Hallelujah. Coming out upon them. And let's even look at some things that are in the New Testament. Now, we've been dealing in the Old Testament up to this point. What about even in the New Testament? What did the Lord have to say about your children? Well, Jesus himself spoke about these things in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. Let's read the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, because there was a time, you know, that the, you know, there was a time that the, you know, people wanted to bring their children and so forth to the Lord, you know, to put his hands on them, you know, and, you know, one time they said, look, you'll bother the master, don't do this and that. And Jesus would tell them, these little children, well, you know, they are the ones upon whom the grace of the heavenly blessings are upon them. Grace of God, heavenly blessing, protection from the angel of the Lord and things like that. In this particular place, he took a little child, set him in the midst, and said, well, except you be converted and become as little child, or as this little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wherefore, therefore, whosoever hath humbled himself as this little child, so he took one particular child, and said, the same is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And if you shall receive one such little child in my name, yeah, then you receive me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck, that they were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, this is what Jesus thinks of little children. You know, I mean, any would-be child offenders, wow, Jesus said it's better. And they put a stone around their neck and throw them into the sea to drown than to hurt one of these little children. And this is how the Lord, even, you know, what he thinks about these little children, you know. And then in verse 10, he says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. You know, for I say unto you, and what does he mean by that? And sometimes we despise children. We think they don't count. You know, we just, you know, despise them, discountenance them like that. Say, well, I mean, parents even want to go to church or prayer meeting or whatever. They won't take their children along because their children are just children. They hire a babysitter. You know, I never did any such thing. You know, drag my children along, and they want to come or not. You know, why would you go and then leave your children behind? You know, despise them like that. Don't do it now. When they are little, drag them along, whether they want to come or not. You take them to the house of the Lord. Don't think that, you know, and sometimes we talk to little children and say they don't understand anything. And, you know, we just keep them somehow away from the things of God, or even the deep things of God. I tell you what, children have plenty of understanding. Plenty. Jesus had plenty of understanding when he was a child. We say, well, yeah, you know, that's Jesus. Well, yeah, maybe so, but as he is in this world, so are we. You know, we see many children that did great things in the Bible, in the book of, Second Kings chapter 11, verse 21, and also Second Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 8. You know, there was a young man called Joash, some translators call it Jehoash or whatever, and another one called, you know, Josiah. I mean, these ones were like 8-7 years old, and they began to reign. I mean, don't think that your children can't understand the Lord or have the Spirit of God upon them. No, they sure can, and don't despise them like that. But more importantly, anyone that raises up evil against his children, well, they're going to have to deal with the Lord, you know, for that. So Jesus said, these children, their angels, are always beholding the face of their Father. I mean, this is how blessed your children are. You know, God, you know, has even assigned, you know, them some children. I mean, some angels watch over them. Praise the Lord. Watch over them from time to time so that nothing, say, you know, take heed that you despise not any of these little ones. I say unto you that in heaven, there are angels. So that tells us that there are some angels assigned. Do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. And so that's a promise that we can use. The understanding of it is that God has assigned some angels to keep these children. And that can give you confidence in the Lord, you know, that your children are secure in God's hands. You know, in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 14, Jesus also, I mean, there are many times, you know, that Jesus would use little children to describe the kingdom. In this chapter, this was where they brought some little children unto him to bless them. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 13, then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray for them. And the disciples rebuked them, saying, don't bother the master, he's busy. You know, I mean, that's also despising the children. You know, I mean, if it was adults that came, they wouldn't have sent them away. There were times, as you say, look, your mother, your brother, your sister, they are here to see you. They didn't send them away. The Greeks came to see him. They didn't send them away. But when it was children that were brought to Jesus, they sent them away. These ones are too little. Don't bother the master. Master has better things to do. Well, that's despising the little children. And Jesus said unto them, suffer the little children to come, you know, unto me, and forbid them not. Glory to God. For of such the kingdom of heaven. And then from the moment that they are little and you begin to train them right now, the kingdom of heaven, you know, begins to be associated with them, and they with the kingdom as well. And if they are part of the kingdom will defend them. So that's also another understanding that we get, kind of like in a roundabout way, but we understand that if they belong to the kingdom will protect his own. Praise the Lord. The kingdom will protect your children. Luke chapter 17 talks about the same thing that we read earlier. 17:2 captures it. If you hurt any of these children, or anyone that hurts these little children, their fate is doomed. That's the way I put it. You know, their fate is doomed like that, you know. Now, you know, in the book of Acts chapter 2, we've already talked about that. Peter quoting the reference of the Holy Spirit, you know, and so forth to the children. And here is some promises in the epistles of John. Powerful stuff now, you know. First John chapter 2, between verses 12 and 14, John writes through the Holy Spirit many things about our children and our young ones, you know. And this is, you know, the way that he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Well, like I said, children are not in isolation. These are promises are for your children, that their sins will be forgiven. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men. You know, so nobody is left out. Every category is in here. Because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you again, little children, he said. But you also have known the Father. Remember, first he said the fathers have known him that is from the beginning. Now the little children, he said, you have known the Father. Why? Because the fathers were teaching the children. From the fathers to the children. You know, praise God. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Well, that's what he said, second time. And then I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you and you have overcome the wicked one. So we can use these powerful statements of our children to say, I declare that these children grow up to be bulwarks and strong in the Lord and overcome the devil. Speak with the enemies in the gates. On and on and on. And just stand like that with the word of God over our children. Praise the Lord. Altogether, I've listed about 24 of these scriptures that call out different things for our children. But I want to do a summarization of this lesson and call out some of the most significant ones. You know, so about our children. Now, your children naturally are clean, you know, because otherwise, well, they will be, it could not be your children, you know, because the Lord has put that in us. You know, you are holy, you bring forth holy seed. You know, this is one of the reasons why, you know, believers get married. Think about it. We're supposed to produce holy seed and to carry on, you know, the name of the Lord in that generation. That's what the Lord said in the beginning, you know, reproduce. He said, you know, be fruitful. Multiply, reproduce, subdue the earth. You know, teach your children the same things that the Lord had taught you. Now, Adam was taught of the Lord by himself because he didn't have any earthly parents. Neither did Eve have any earthly parents. You know, so, you know, they were taught of the Lord. Adam also had to instruct Eve. But from that point on, it was their responsibility to instruct their children after them, on and on and on. And we've had that responsibility. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul describes a powerful principle here. When he was talking about, although the subject in 1 Corinthians 7 is something else, you know, about, you know, how people should not depart from their spouse. When the husband, you know, put away your wife, the wife don't depart from her husband, and so on and so forth. You know, that's the subject. But it brings out a powerful point there, here. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And, you know, in verse 14, it says, well, the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Now, this assumes that one of the two is a believer. And the other one is unbelieving. Well, he's saying that even in that kind of mixed up setting, where one is a believer and the other is, you know, either the husband is the one that's believing and the wife is not, or vice versa. He said, well, the unbelieving in that case is even sanctified by the believing one. He said, else were your children unclean. You know, in other words, if we don't understand that the unbeliever in this union is sanctified by the believer, then your children would be unclean because they have half seed of clean and half seed of unclean. And, you know, Paul said they'll come out unclean. But no, he said that's not how it works. You know, in order for the children to come out holy, God puts a covering of, you know, sanctification upon even the unbelieving spouse so that the children can come out holy. And he said, look, if that's not the case, then your children would be unclean. But now are they holy? See, now this is what God thinks of children. As long as there is one believing parent in that mix, the children come out holy. That's it. Holy unto the Lord. Now, does that mean they are saved at that point? Absolutely not. You know, they must be taught the gospel. They must be shown the way of God and so on and so forth. You know, and then they must make a decision. But they are already covered. They are already classified as holy. Because at least one of the parents, you know, was a believer. That's powerful stuff. You know, now, this doesn't mean that you as a believer should go and marry an unbeliever. That's an absolute no-no. Scripture tells us that do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But what fellowship is there between Christ and Belial, you know, or darkness and light? I mean, that's not going to work. But we may find yourself in situations where, you know, you were already married and then you became converted and you saw the light. Now you cannot leave your husband or your wife just because now you are in the light and they are still in darkness. Can't do it. You know, that's what Paul was teaching in this place here. Don't say that just because you are now in the light and I'm going to walk away. No, you can't do that. Or put away your wife. You can't walk away from your husband either. You know, but, you know, while you are still unmarried, you cannot make a choice to go marry an unbeliever. You know, that's a point blank departure from the statutes of God. And if you do that, it's going to come upon your head later on. So don't do it now. But there are people who were married before they became believers. And when they became believers, their spouse remains on an unbeliever. That's what we're talking about here. But even your children in that case, Paul's saying here by the Spirit of God that they are holy. So you see how powerful, you know, the concept of the pipeline is. And just because you are of the holy seed, your children are also holy. And God looks at them like that. Now, God will deal with them if they, you know, don't follow. They are obstinate, they are rebellious and don't follow. But, you know, God will find a way, one way or another, to bring them in. They will not, you know, be given up to the devil. Jesus prayed in John 17 and said, all that the Father has given me, I have lost none of them. I have kept them. That's the same way that we must, the position that we must be in our families. Because of your parents, to say, well, all that the Father has given me, I've lost none of them. I've kept them by the word. I mean, we've taught them in instruction of righteousness. And we know that it's really God that can keep them like that, but we must do our part. Say, look, I have taught them, I've trained them, Jesus said, I've given them thy word. Well, can you say that? Have you given the word of the Lord to your children? Do you give them, you know, especially when they are young before they move out of your house and so on, when they are still under your instruction, bring them up in the name of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, give them understanding of the things of God. And God looks at them as though they were holy. Now, when the child begins to get to the age of responsibility, he must answer to the Lord by himself. Although God calls him holy, he has to remain in the light in order to inherit the fruits of, to keep what he has inherited, basically. So that's, that's how it works. But the Lord already has them in mind like that. So that pipeline is behind these transfer of blessings. You receive righteousness from the Lord, and because of that, your children are blessed. All these things that say the seed of the righteous, the children of the righteous, it's always referring to the righteous or the just man. Yeah, children of the righteous are blessed after him. Proverbs 20 and 7. Let me just call out a few of them. Your children will be mighty upon the earth because you fear the Lord. Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. It says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, etc. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Those seed are promised and guaranteed to be great because this one fears the Lord. Their children are promised to be great. A powerful, powerful way to look at it. God's righteousness, Psalm 103 verse 17, son two, shall be upon your children, and your grandchildren, seeds, generation and generation. That's what he says. He talks about, children are the heritage of the Lord. They grow up to be mighty warriors. Speak with the enemies in the gates. Psalm 127 verses 3 and 5. Verse 11, Proverbs 11:21 talks about the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Now, always in this case, every case making mention of, that pipeline. It's not just that these people will be delivered. No, it's the seed of the righteous. So the righteousness of the parent brings an automatic promise of deliverance to their children. It's just that simple. So throughout the scriptures, now you're talking about your children shall have a place of refuge. Proverbs 14 and 26. It talks about pouring out the Spirit of God upon your seed. I love this one in Isaiah 44. It's powerful. He said, I will pour waters upon him that is thirsty and so forth. I will pour out my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring, because they are your seed and because they are your offspring, talks about, the never seeing the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. The reason they won't be begging bread and the reason they will not be forsaken is because they are the seed of the righteous. That's it. So your righteousness will speak for you. It is important for us to walk in our integrity like that. Praise the Lord. Walk in the integrity of your heart before the Lord. Yeah, the blessings that come, they are not just for you, but they are also for your children. It's like you're paying it forward. And your children will inherit many things. Look at this one. I'm summarizing this lesson now. This one, Proverbs 20 and verse 7. So, so powerful. It said, the just man walketh in his integrity. I've alluded to this saying many, many times, even in this series, that when you're walking in the integrity of your heart, it causes your children after you to be blessed. That's what this verse is. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The reference to the children are not just all children anywhere. They are blessed. No. It is the children of the just man that is walking in his integrity. So, as you walk in the integrity of your heart before the Lord, it automatically opens up a portal of blessing to your children. Just like that. Praise God. Now we can stand in the word of God and say, Lord, you said Glory to God. So, you know, and if it doesn't look like it, I mean, if your children are becoming destitute and they are begging for bread, that's an absolute no-no. You can stand upon these promises and say, no, that's not going to be the case. There must be an immediate reversal. Begin to bring the word of God out upon that situation. Begin prophesy. You know, and this is the way that we must be praying for our children. Prophetic prayers over our children. What's a prophetic prayer? It's using what God already said in prayer over them. Makes it prophetic because God said it already. So you begin to release it over your children, you know, and all of your offspring, praise God. And their children after them too, praise God. Now, Isaiah 49:25, you know, Lord said, look, anyone that contends with you, I will contend with them. In this case, it may be your children that are the trophy in that contest. Devil is trying to have them, say, no, you can't have them. You know, said, I will save your children. That's a powerful point blank promise. And you must stand upon that promise over your children. You know, use that promise over them. Isaiah 54:13, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be their peace. You know, when you are teaching your children and they are not listening, you know, or they are being stubborn, obstinate, or, you know, disrespectful or whatever, you hold on to this promise. The Lord would teach them. Not teach them with a stronger hand, but he would teach them. And they will be taught of the Lord. You know, now, peace comes from learning from the Lord. When you learn the way of righteousness of the Lord, well, it causes your peace to be enlarged. Praise God. Great shall be their peace when they are taught of the Lord. Your seed. This is where, you know, we started today. Your seed have been known among the people and acknowledge that they are the blessed of. I mean, and these powerful, powerful promises. So, we've covered enough of this. I'm going to turn this thing into an old fashioned prayer release session over your children. That's it. We did some of that yesterday and we're going to do some of that again today because, you know, the devil can't get to you, go after your children. You know, but there is something, you know, the posture that Jesus had over his children. He said, look, you know, all that are mine, they'll come to me, they follow me, they don't know the voice of strangers, and I'll give them eternal life. They shall never perish, and no one can pluck them out of my hands. You know, John 10:27-28, and also verse 5. It tells us about these things. Well, you as a parent, you are the first shepherd that your child will know. You know, you're shepherding them like that. And you're watching over them. Or you're the same way. You know, you watch over their souls. You know, the devil cannot have them. You stand in the gap for them. And you say, Lord, the Lord who gave them to me is greater than all. And no one can pluck anything out of his hand. And that's the assurance that you have for your children. And sometimes you can't even watch over these children. You know, sometimes they may not even be at home. Sometimes they grow up. They go off to college. They even travel away from your state or go overseas or wherever, you know, even when they were with you, you couldn't keep them anyway, let alone when they are gone away from you. I mean, so naturally anxiety sets in and all kinds of things. But remember scriptures such as this, the Father who gave them to me, John 10:28, greater than all, and nobody, glory to God, can pluck them out of his hands. You know, so we commit our children unto the Lord daily, and we rest in assurance. You know, my Father gave them to me. That's verse 29, actually. My Father who gave them to me is greater than or no one is able to pluck anything out of his hands. And with all these promises, we're coming in prayer today for our children. And the Lord has promised that, look, you've been crying, you've been laboring in tears over these your children. He said, Lord, your work over them shall be rewarded. They will come. Glory to God. Our children will be great. Remember, greatness is from the Lord. And the Lord has promised it. They will be too. Because seed of the righteous shall be mighty upon the earth. So I'm going to pray over the lesson. This is a wrap for those promises of our children. And then I want us to spend time and pray. Pray over your children. Pray these promises over yourself too. You may not even be a parent. These promises are unto you. This is how Peter said it on the day of Pentecost. You know, Acts chapter 2 and 39 said, for these promises unto you and your children. But it starts with you. So if you are unmarried or not yet a parent, well, it starts with you as well. Anything that we've spoken here in this series belongs to you as well. Psalm 115 verse 14 is a powerful summary of that. It said, the Lord, you know, shall increase you. First of all, it's you, right? More and more. Then it's you and your children. But it starts with you. It starts with I and the children that God has given me. Not my children and I, which is, as I said yesterday, that would have been the correct grammatical rendition of, you know, a sentence like that. You know, my children and I would be the correct way to say it. But no, he says I and my children, because that's the conduit. That's the pipeline. It starts with you and flows to your children. And even with your unborn children. Glory to God. We read in Romans chapter 9 the other day how that children that are not yet born, God was speaking things about them. He said, Rebecca, when she was pregnant, you know, God was speaking things even over the children that were not even born. Praise God. You know, that even some children that are not yet even there, yet God recognized them. You know, that's a powerful, powerful concept that people need to know. You know, so here is a scripture that I want to explain to you about that, and then we're going to pray. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, has a concept that we need to understand. God recognizes even your unborn children, even before you are pregnant. And same thing for the man. God was referring to something here about Levi. Let me just read it to you in Hebrews, you know, chapter 7. He said, and this I may say so also, Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Abraham met Melchizedek. Now, in the story of Abraham meeting Melchizedek, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. You can read that in, you know, Genesis 14. It said Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And we're told here that Levi was not Abraham's first child. He wasn't even his direct child. It was generations to come. But yet, we're told that he was inside the loins of Abraham when Abraham met Melchizedek. That blessing that Melchizedek put upon Abraham. This is a powerful concept. Transferred to Isaac, transferred to Jacob, and then transferred to Levi. You know, I mean, just think about that. I told that Levi was in the loins. You wouldn't have thought that Levi was in the loins of Abraham. It's still three or four generations down the line. But that blessing was already in the pipeline. God already recognized that. So your children, man or woman, if you are not yet have any children, doesn't matter. This promise is unto you and to your children. Even those children are yet in your loins, if you're a man, they're yet to come out of your womb. They are the blessed of the Lord, because this scripture tells us that. Praise the Lord. You know, so these are not foreign concepts, you know, foreign only to the mind that is not instructed in the things of God. And once we are instructed, you can see that these things are backed up by the scriptures. I just showed you another one right here. Praise God. So God knows your children before they are born, even as he knows you before you were born. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that. Listen to this. Powerfully what he says to us in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. How could he have chosen us before the foundation of the world when we were not even there? Yeah. But God knew you before you were ever born. You know, even before you were ever born, God knew you. You know, I thought, you know, and alluded sometimes to the fact about the sons of God, how they were made in heaven and assembled upon the earth. Well, before they were assembled upon the earth, God already knew them, called them forth. He wrote things about them, glorious things, you know, and he saw that they needed a redeemer. And so he arranged for the lamb to be slain before the world even began. There was no world. There was no sin. There was no Adam and Eve yet. God foresaw all of that and made the preparation for it. So your children, they are already blessed. You are blessed first. Then your children are blessed. So now we're going to go into prayers. After I say quick prayer, you will take all these promises that we have heard about. You will take them, appropriate them for yourselves and your children. They always go together, not one or the other. And I'll give you a short testimony. I've said this before. You know, some years ago, I was thinking that, well, I'm in my own space. You know, I'm doing well. You know, I've done this and that. You know, I'm good. You know, all that I need now is for my children to be blessed. I'm praying to God and say, Lord, bless my children after me, because I'm good. You know, and all parents want their children to be greater than them, right? I'm thinking like that. And then the Holy Ghost rebuked me. It's a true statement, true story. Rebuke me to my face. Now, that's not how it works. And then he showed me this scripture in Psalms 115 verse 14. He said, the Lord will bless you. And I came out on this platform and I encouraged people. I said, look, don't ever think you're too old for the blessing of the Lord. He will bless you and your children. And I had to repent of that, and I changed my ways. I said, Lord, you're going to bless me and my children, not just my children. You know, it doesn't matter where you are. It's you and your children, no matter what age you are in. The Lord will bless you. Whatever blessing is appropriate for you in the phase of life that you are in, the Lord will bring it to you. And then he'll bring it to your children. So that's what we call you and then some. God bless you and then bless your children. Praise God. So, Father, we thank you for today's lesson and the conclusion of this subject on God's great and precious promises towards our children. And, Father, Lord, as we go into prayers now to use this word of God, release this word of God over our lives and over our children's lives, we thank you because the scripture cannot be broken. Jesus said it himself in John chapter 10, and verse 35, Jesus said that the scripture cannot be broken. Praise God. So, Lord, all these promises that we have read in the Word of God, we're going to lay hold on these promises today, and we are going to pray over our own lives to receive these promises, and by the grace of God, be that conduit, a pipeline, transfer them upon our children and unto our children as well. For this promise is unto you first, then to your children. As many as the Lord our God shall call. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you, Lord, for all our children, because they are for signs and they are for wonders. We thank you because our seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Even as you have said, you pour out your spirit upon our children and your blessing upon our offspring. Our children shall not be desolate or destitute. They will not be begging for bread in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will make them to be mighty upon the earth. People that see them shall call them the blessed of the Lord. They will be above only and not beneath. Praise the Lord. And the angel of the Lord will be watching over them. Father, we give you praise and give you glory. In Jesus' name, we have declared and prayed. Amen and amen.